I am so glad that the Lord came. And He came with an offering. And He came with an invitation. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that He showed me that I could be saved. And that He would forgive me. There was a place in my life that I was having a great difficulty believing that I could be saved. And that I could be delivered. So thank the Lord that He came and offered Himself to me. Paul said He was the chief of sinners. Well, I think a lot of us feel that way about ourselves. So I think today, since the chief of sinners, kind of coining that phrase, has been saved, I'm glad there's hope for all of mankind today, that we all can be delivered from sin. This morning, I'd like for you and me to consider warfare and the warfare of the evil that's in the world and the devil and the attacks of the devil. The fact that we are in a spiritual battle for our soul and for the souls of others. And I want us to think some today about being well equipped to fight the good fight of faith, to be able to have not our own resources that will fail us, but have the very presence of God through Christ and the Holy Ghost, to have the resources that the Lord Himself has offered us and the weapons of God, that you and I might be thoroughly furnished, that you and I might be able this morning to know that I, by Christ, I can fight the good fight of faith. And though I am in a war, it's a very deadly war, it's a very serious war, it's a war that I can be on the winning side. And God will supply me, and God will strengthen me in it. Over in 2 Timothy, we want to read a couple of scriptures here. And it speaks about you and me being a good soldier. And I want to be, don't you, a soldier that the Lord can count on, a soldier that is in the battle and not running, not a coward, not one that gives up when the fray may get a little more violent than what I had expected, not to be disappointed when the enemy comes up with a trick or two that maybe I wasn't thinking about. Over in 2 Timothy 2 and 3, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers that belong to the captain of our salvation. Soldiers that have yielded to the Master. Soldiers not of our own cause, but of the cause of Christ. Cause that is not something that we've manufactured, that we draw our strength or set ahead for us, but that which Christ has put before us of salvation, of eternal life, of bringing as many souls with us as we possibly can. And he said about a good soldier, one that is endeavoring to be a good soldier, he said, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Today I want us to consider that not only am I a soldier, you're a soldier, but we're called to be soldiers. We're called into a battle that you and I did not instigate, but yet, nevertheless, we're in this battle. And the devil has come against right. The devil has come against holiness. The devil has come against God Himself, and the devil has wanting to take captives and prisoners. He's wanting to kill. He's wanting to plunder. He's wanting to destroy. And you and I have to stand strong in this battle. And we must recognize we're doing it not only for our own eternal soul, but we're also doing it for others. And we're doing it that we may please Him who hath called us to be that soldier. So may the Lord help us today to recognize that there's a real battle, and we'll speak of some scriptures that mention war. There's a real warfare that's going on, And God recognized that in us is not the sufficiency of grace, not the sufficiency of wisdom, not the sufficiency of power, not the sufficiency of anything that you and me could fight the battle by ourselves. But He has given us all things. He has empowered us through Christ, through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, through Himself, and He offers to us the full, whole armor of salvation. And it's ours, that we can be more than a conqueror, that we can come through without the debilitating effects of war, but we can come forth with victory, but not only victory, praise and thanksgiving, and able to fully recommend this salvation to anyone else. I think someone has gone through a literal battle, and maybe they were on the winning side, but maybe they were lame or maimed some way, lost an eye, lost their hearing, lost an arm or a leg, and that happens so very often in the warfares of the world. You know, most people at that point could say, well, we were on the winning side, but I wouldn't recommend that course for anybody. I wouldn't recommend you go out and stand in front of the enemy and let them shoot at you. I'm glad today we as the saints of God can have an assurance in our heart of victory. We can have an experience of victory. We can be equipped for victory, and we can recommend this warfare or this race or this way to whosoever. And may we be living today in such a way that those who come behind us find us, we live faithful and we live true. We fought a good fight and we obtained the prize. And now we could, in essence, say, come and follow me as we follow Christ today. I'm glad this is something we can recommend to others. A lot of entanglements going on in life. Paul is encouraging us here. If we're to be a good soldier, we've got to first pledge our allegiance to the Father. We've got to first allow Him to be our God, our captain, our everything. I think in the life of man, too many times people become entangled with all kinds of other attachments. And not only does that distract us, but it also attacks our allegiance, and it attacks where we're going to stand when the battle gets real close to us. Over in 1 Corinthians 9 and 7, Paul was speaking of a matter of ministerial support, financial support. But I want to borrow a thought here from Paul. He said, "Who goeth a warfare at his own charge?" That's something that you and me need to recognize, that the battle belongs to the Lord, that the battle belongs to Him, and He equips us for the battle. He supplies our needs, our grace, or His grace to us. This at His own charge can mean at His own expense or His own resources. Maybe we get in a place in this battle and it discourages us because we try to resist the devil or we try to do good just based on a head knowledge or a religious pride or a desire to please someone else or to keep a good reputation or to keep our name intact. Now, in and of themselves, those things are good. Not all of them, not the pride and all, but the reputation and those things, yes, we want that. But we must recognize we are not equipped of ourselves to resist the devil. We're not equipped of ourselves to fight the good fight of faith. We may think we're fighting the battle here, but all the time we're being flanked by the devil, or he's coming in behind us, or he's attacking us in a way, and we don't know it. So none of us want to ever think that this battle is something that I have the power or the strength or the resources or the rations that I can fight this. We are totally dependent on this warfare upon God. We must realize that. I know we do. But because we're dependent, that means that I've got to maintain a closeness with Him. This is where I feel like the saints are being attacked in one area right here, is that the devil would like to wedge in between our closeness and our closeness with God. He would like to get you and me just a bit estranged from God, to cut the supply line of prayer, to cut the supply line of devotion, to cut the supply line of inquiring into the Holy Word, cut the supply line of witnessing and testimonies to the Lord or for the Lord. The devil would like for you and me maybe to start drawing maybe a little bit from our head knowledge, our own resources. And what's going to happen to us, you or me, any of us, we get in that situation, we're going to be left because we don't have it within us. So we don't go out in this warfare at our own charge. First, we're ordered of the Lord. And secondly, He supplies us as we go forth. Let's think about that. Listen to what He said. I was reading last night and I came across this scripture, and it blessed me, and it seemed to fit in with the thoughts the Lord had given me for today. It's Psalms 144. 144, 1 and 2. And listen to what He said. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You know, you and me have our own little ideas of how battles ought to go. And sometimes we don't have near enough understanding. And sometimes we certainly don't have enough grace for a battle. I'm glad the Lord today is a teacher, and He teaches us how to warfare, if I may say so, properly, and in a manner that not only are we fighting a good fight of faith, but we maintain our integrity. We maintain the Spirit of Christ. We maintain the love for that enemy, not the devil, but those that might come against us. He said He teaches us how to war, teaches our hands and our fingers how to apply the Word of God to the battle, how to follow the Holy Ghost into battle, how to be covered by the blood and lift up the shield of faith. He teaches us how to utilize the weapons that are not carnal, yet they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I've never been in the military. I've talked to people that have, and there is a pretty vast orientation on how to use and take care of the weapons. That they are issued. You and me, as fighters in the fight for our faith, we need to let God teach us how to use the Word of God. It's not as a club, but it is as a mighty weapon that we can overcome. First of all, in our own life. Those assaults that you and I have against us. But it's also a weapon that we can take out and tell others how they can win and what God has done for them. He said also, and He exclaims this, He teaches His fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and He in whom I trust, who subdueth people under me. Those people, those forces, those spirits, those things that attack us, the wiles of the devil, the enemy that comes in like a flood, the temptations that come from living in a very immodest and a very ungodly world that we live in today. The Lord has promised to be our deliverer, and we can trust in Him. And when those assaults can come against us, we can repulse them. We can turn them back because He subdueth those things in our life. Today, I'm glad that we have a mighty God who is interested. He is our strength, and He'll teach us if we'll listen, if we'll obey, if we'll follow, if we will take the weapons of His warfare, not the weapons that you and I might think. A soft answer doesn't seem to the carnal, angry person to be an appropriate answer in those situations, but Jesus, God said, that a soft answer turneth away wrath. The Lord wants you and me to overcome evil, not with evil, but with good. He'll teach us how to do that. If we'll possess His Spirit, if we'll hide His Word in our heart, if we'll lift up the shield of faith. But I believe God, well, you've got every right to go a warfare this way. You've got every right to succumb here. No, I believe God. The waves are mighty. The storm is blowing. And I'm a little fearful, but sirs, I believe God. It'll be just the way He said it. Thank the Lord for the weapons that the world doesn't understand. In a sense, they're secret weapons. What do we say about the songs "An Unknown to Proud in Heart"? It's not that the weapons of our warfare are hidden. They're fully talked about and enumerated on in the Bible. But so many of the world today are not acquainted with it. And then not only is it there for us, but we have to believe it. We have to trust in it. We have to hide it in our heart. And it has to be a conversion that goes along with it. Nothing but the blood. We have to be washed in the blood and become a new creature. The old man has to perish. And all those weapons are there for you and me to be more than a conqueror today in this warfare. The book of Revelations speaks about war. In the 12th chapter of Revelations, the 13th chapter of Revelations, and the 17th chapter of Revelations. In those chapters, and we'll touch on a few of those, John writes, Christ had him write, about satanic powers, satanic influences, paganism, false religion, false prophets, evil spirits, and coming together of all those things, beasts and images of beasts, and all those things that denote the false religious system that prevailed and does even prevail in many parts of life today. He writes about all those various influences that will come directly at us and come directly against us and try to defeat us and bring us into a false relationship with the Lord, to lead us into error, to lead us into things that sin will not become exceedingly sinful anymore. And we will be tempted, and we'll read some of this, we'll be tempted to make a league with the things that go on around us. One of the things God many times spoke to the Israelites about is don't go out and make covenants with the ites. Destroy those people. Destroy their idols. Destroy their ways. Don't take on their practices. Don't dress like they do. Don't cut your flesh. Don't make marks in your flesh. Don't tattoo yourself. Don't go after their gods, and all and on and on. God has never wanted His people to make a league with anything that's unlike Him. Yet in this warfare, we're warned. We're warned of God that there'll be those influences that'll come in and say, well, just agree with us. And you can eat your own bread, drink your own wine, do what you want to do. So we find in Revelations 17, 12 and 17 is one of those scriptures. In that scripture, he speaks about Satan or evil's assault is against a remnant of people or part of the church that is. And it said against the remnant that keep the commandments of God. We want to remember that those who would live holy or godly will suffer persecution. Be prepared for that. Have something within to withstand that. And those who would live godly, those who would keep the commandments of God, don't look for us to be the overwhelming number. Don't look for it to be more saints of God in this world who keep the commandments of God than there are the paganistic, idolatrous actions and practices that exist. We're going to be fewer in number, and we're going to be attacked. Now, you know, those that are in a minority, for them to overcome, they're going to have some special power. They're going to have something greater than the enemy. Sheer brute force of number can overcome a smaller group. But I am so glad God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. But we've got to take on. We've got to bring these things into our life. You remember, we read earlier about not being entangled with the things of this world. I want to give us a caution here. We are in a desperate war. And it cannot be overstated. I really don't believe we could exaggerate the magnitude and the consequences of this battle. the little children that are among us today, these little innocent lambs, their souls are at stake in this battle. It's called in battle collateral damage. When you bomb a site and innocent people get killed, and they write it off as not little babes get blown apart, it's collateral damage. To hide us from the terror of a bomb falling from the sky and the destruction that it does. The devil would like for us to think, whether I'm a good soldier or not, I'm the one going to hell. It's not altogether true, folks. These precious little babies that run and play and we hold them and we kiss them and have so much hope in them, we don't want them to become collateral damage because you and me didn't fight the good fight of faith. Let you and me be very careful. Can't overestimate, and we cannot exaggerate, the consequences of this war. So, in the process of life, there are going to be those who keep the commandments of God. I want to be one of those, don't you? And you know, God's going to come, and we'll read a little bit. God's going to come to my defense. God's going to teach my hand to war. And when you and me are persecuted for righteousness' sake, blessed are you. Why? Because there's someone on your side, the Lord, mighty in battle. He's going to lift up a standard against that thing. He's going to give you wisdom and knowledge. He's going to give you power to be more than a conqueror right here in the battle. So all these forces that he talks about in Revelation, we won't go into what all their significances are. It's just that they're the devil is what they come from. You trace it back, and it's the devil. And he masks it, he hides it, he renames it, but it's the devil. And he said they're going to assault the remnant that keep the commandments of God. Over in Revelation 13, he also mentions a war. And here is a place that I want us to dwell on a little bit. Over in Revelation 13 and 4. And they worshiped the dragon, okay, Satanism, which gave power to the beast, Catholicism. And we could read on some, and it was a third image of the beast. And they worshiped the beast. And here's what they said, and I don't want to limit this to just the beast. I want to broaden this little statement out to Protestantism, to paganism, to the idolatry of the world today, to the immorality that we're assaulted by, to the abortion issue, to the rights this and rights that movements, and all these things that are assaulting the Word of God. And listen to what was said. And here's something, saints, please, God help us to get a hold of this one. Because it's what I call the intimidating factor. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Have you ever in your life felt a little sense of hopelessness? I'm not asking you to say. But have you ever felt, how can we ever overcome this thing? Have you ever felt the temptation to succumb to the pressures around you? That doesn't make you a bad person or a sinner. I'm just asking you, have you ever felt the pressure? Have you ever felt the thought implied or directed toward you? How do we stop it? It's like a great flood that's sweeping over the land. What use is there trying to resist this evil influence? I want to say to us this morning, Satan would love for the soldiers of the cross to think that away. He would love for you and me to think it's no use. It's all over with. Who is able to make war against this onslaught of immorality, this onslaught of every man to his own tent, this onslaught of every man's ways is right as long as he's happy and he's not hurting someone else? And I don't mean liberalism now in the sense of just political, but I mean the liberal spirit that's let loose. So anything goes, it's okay. And we find, moment by moment almost, another group of quote-unquote religious folks are endorsing things that are wrong. We find the Muslim world up in arms and mutilating and blowing people up and doing terrible, despicable acts. It's not just Protestantism. It's just not Catholicism. It's not just false religions, but the paganistic powers. And they're loose, folks. You may, and I'm not a frantic. I don't believe that at all. But then the pressure comes against us in this warfare. In military, I don't want to refer too much to military, but there's lessons to be learned. Paul referred to the Olympic Games, so I think we're safe in doing this. In military jargon, there's a thing called tactical disintegration. Men in the army are taught to fight as a unit and hold the ranks. Stay where you are. Don't give in. And sometimes the factors around them become so great, fear, distress takes over, and men, first of all, leave their post and start bunching up. And they're going to, you know, I'm supposed to be 20 feet away from him. This covers the whole area, but I'm terrified. I'm going to run over and get closer to him. Then it starts to go a little further and get a little more. And men begin to throw down their weapons. And they begin to just go every which way. They totally lose control. Tactical disintegration. That's a military term. Do you know what? Satan would like to impose that on us. First, he'd like for us, and I'm not speaking against the church, he'd like for us to bunch up. Then he would like for us to disperse in tactical disintegration. We can't fight this thing. The government? We can't fight this liberal onslaught. Why, men are so immoral. Lord, help us today to be very careful of this thought right here. Who is able? We're so small. We're so few. I want to tell you something. God. If I think of myself in terms of my own abilities, or your abilities, or even the collective abilities of us that are here today in this building, I can be defeated in that. But Lord, help me to see, us to see beyond our own personalities and our own self, and see that we have been called to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. That we're not going forth in our equipment, but we're going forth in His charge or His equipment. That He has supplied us with all things, and we are no longer ourselves. We've been purchased, we've been bought, we've been redeemed, we've been translated, and now we are the body of Jesus Christ. That puts a new slant on it to me. That gives me a greater identity, gives me more power, and gives us more authority. But the devil wants to say, well, look at you. Hey, how are you going to fight all of this? Oh, may the Lord help us today to watch out. Because Satan wants to destroy our vision. He wants to destroy our faith. He wants us to just become amalgamated, blend right in. I'd like to remind us of a scripture over in Luke, the 14th chapter, that has to do with this. Sometimes we term this part of counting the cost. But listen to what he said over in Luke 14 and 31. Luke 14 and 31. Oh, what king goeth to make war against another king, setteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else, while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So we look around us and we see a great multitude against us. And I'm looking at it this way. Let's be careful that we've counted the cost. I know. May I be bold enough to say this? I want you to go home today, sometime in the next 24 hours, and pray to God and see if you know in whom you have believed. The day will come, you will have to know. The time will come in your life, maybe soon, maybe later, you're going to have to know in who you believe in. Life will require that of you. Young man, young lady, young mother, young father, young husband, young wife, teenager, boy and girl, and us old gray-headed folks. Life is going to require of you to know in whom you believe in. If I do not know in whom I believe in, and I see the enemy out yon, I am going to want to run up the flag of surrender and say, peace at any cost. Do you remember back, some of us do, in the 60s, late 50s, 60s, better red than dead, the philosophy that went out among some people that, well, I'd rather be under communist domain than I had be dead. You know, Satan wants to impose that on us. Better out there alive than it would be to be crucified for Christ. Please, know in whom you have believed. Know that. Because the day will come that you're going to have to know that. You're going to be called to make a decision. Do I stand or do I run? Do I become a part of all this confusion around me? Or do I remain true and not entangled? It's going to call us. Life's going to require that of you. I'm not a prophet. That's experience, folks. And most of us have already been there. You all will be there. It's going to require that of you. So count the cost today. Know in whom you believe in today. Be persuaded of him today. Know without a doubt in your heart and mind that the weapons he gives us, that the warfare belongs, and I indeed can be a conqueror. I am a conqueror. And I don't have to fall prey to the war that's around me. I have a little good news for us. 19th chapter of Revelations, back in that book again. Let's read what he said here. 19 and 11. And I saw heaven open. Oh, today, saints, if I could encourage us, let's look up to heaven. That's God. That's not just a literal piece of blue somewhere. I'm talking about let's look unto God. And listen to what he said. I saw heaven open up. Too many times we don't look. Too many times we look around us. But the instructions is look on Jesus. Look on God. Look on the promises, the Word. And he said, behold, he was astonished. Something beautiful had happened. He said, a white horse. Something magnificent and pure. I think it denotes power and authority. The heavens opened up. And he that sat upon him, it was an image, there was a man, there was a figure that sat upon this horse. And he had a name that was very special, faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and he doth make war. I suppose the one thing about wars, they're selfish. I don't care what war, Vietnam, World War II, Iraq, not placing blame anywhere except to say there was selfish intent on somebody, if not everybody's part. There's no righteousness in it. When you and me go to fight a battle in our own selves, our righteousness is as filthy rags. God is not honored to take on my battle that I incur at my own charge. But He is responsible for His war. And His is a righteous warfare. He goes forth to make war, and His name is faithful and true. And in righteousness, the motives are pure. I want you to, you know, sometimes we read in the Bible and we speak of from the pulpit and we teach that the Lord is against all these things. Most definitely God is. But did you know He loves every soldier on the other side? He doesn't want to kill a one of them. He doesn't want a one of them to go to hell. He doesn't want to put a one of them in a prisoner of war camp. You know, He wants to liberate every one of them. Don't think for a moment God hates the enemy as far as their identity as people. God came to save sinners. He came to save people. But that influence and those spirits that motivate them, God hates. God hates division. God hates lying lips. God hates things, but He loves people. So His righteousness is not to go out and kill you or me, but that influence that compels us to do wrong. God wants to slay that. And if we will let Him, He'll do that. So He goes forth in righteousness to make war. In the 17th chapter of Revelations, the 4th verse, I believe that's right. No, 17 and 14 of Revelations. Speaking about a different group here, or maybe the same group, this accumulation of evil. We won't go into that either. He said, "These shall make war with the Lamb. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake." I want you to think of something. I believe it was it Ezekiel or Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. He said, they're going to reject you. But when they reject you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me, speaking of himself. The assault that you and I feel so blatantly today, so unencumbered against us, it's against God. They're assaulting the Lamb. They're assaulting holiness and righteousness and truth. They're assaulting the purity of God and His desire for a pure and a, they're assaulting the commandments in the church of God, if you will. And they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Told you there was some good news. We're more than a conqueror. The Lamb will stand in judgment against all things. The words that He has spoken will judge us in the last days. They made a mistake, in a sense. Not people. That's a mistake. But evil made a mistake in thinking it was going to win when it fought against the Lamb. I realize it seems like sometimes people are falling, people are succumbing to sin. But I want to tell you something. The Bible said the Lamb overcame. And He's going to come back to them who are of His body that have overcome. Some will be in the graves, and some will be alive to be caught up to meet Him in the air. I want to be in that number, don't you? Won't that be a cheer? Won't that be a hallelujah? Won't that be a praise to know we fought the good fight? We were equipped of the Lord. They came against my master. He enlisted me in His service. I stood fast and true to Him in obedience and in love. I knew He was able to keep me. And look at the payday. Eternal life forevermore. A new body. Ever to be with the Lord. No tears, no sorrow, no pain. Nothing to ever tempt me again. I want to be a good soldier, don't you? Oh, Lord, help us to be on the winning side today. He said, "And the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings." I don't care what the devil says. God is greater. I don't care what lies this devil tells you and me. Jesus Christ is still Lord of lords and King of kings. To as many then who believe, one of the biggest words in the Bible, almost always ought to be in our minds capitalized. Believe. They enter not in because of what? Unbelief. They didn't obtain the prize because of unbelief. But to as many as who believe, you remember we said, we need to know in whom we have believed. To many as who has believed, to them gave He power to become sons of God. May the Lord help us today. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Without going into the depths that maybe I don't fully understand, I know where I want to align myself. I know the army I want to be in. And I want to be the chosen, don't you? I want to be with the chosen ones. I want to be with the faithful ones. I want to be with those that have been called out. Because that's the winning side. In Psalms, let's think a little more of this scripture that we just read in Revelations. Over in Psalms 24, because you see, they went out to do battle with the Lamb, and the Lamb overcame. And He gives you and me this authority to overcome. Psalms 24 and 7. Again, you remember I said, I quoted, I know in whom I have believed. Critical. You leave it there, it's critical. 24 and 7 of Psalms. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. If I will lift up my eyes, if I will lift up my repentance, if I will lift up my plea, if I will open my heart, the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? Who am I inviting in? Why, He's the Lord, Creator. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the great I Am. He's the Word manifest. He is the Word in my heart. The Lord, strong and mighty in battle. The Lord, mighty in battle. He will come into your heart, saints, as never before. You can be saved today. Can I say this without contradicting the Bible? And have never opened the gates. You've done your first works, but you don't know in whom you believe. You've said, forgive me, and you know He forgave you. Praise God. But He wants you to open your heart's door. He wants you to open up the eyes of your understanding. Because you know, life is going to, this war, let's say it this way, is going to come to your doorsteps. America has been blessed in the last 100+ years. We had the Civil War, so we can't say this entirely. We had the Revolutionary War, but in modern times, war has been over there. 9/11 brought it close, but the war is still over there. Folks, I want to tell you about this war. It's going to come in your life. It's going to come in your time, and it's going to, but it's not necessarily going to knock. It's going to be like a big truck coming down the highway and sees you over here and said, I'm going to get him, and just goes after you. We've got to know in whom we believe. May the Lord help us to know. Maybe you're saying, I hope every one of us are, but you've never lifted up your head. You've never lifted up your eyes. You've never opened your heart's door, and there's trouble brewing. You're in a warfare. And you're having trouble maintaining your innocency before God. You're struggling. You find arguments easier to get into, and you find avoiding confrontation is hard to do, and you find holding grudges is something that still wants to well up inside of you. You find temptation is something you just all but can't turn your head from, and sometimes you don't. The King of glory needs to come in. King of glory needs to come into your heart, to your life, our lives. Because he and he alone is mighty in battle. He and he alone can defeat the devil. I saw Satan as lightning fall. Meaning the devil falling from his exalted place in his domain in the hearts of men. And then, he said, and I give what? You power to tread on those things. Those scorpions, those unclean things. Those things that heretofore have defeated you. Because Satan has been defeated. He said, I give you power. In John, 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy out of the hearts of the believer the works of the devil. Don't look in this world for sin to be defeated. It doesn't seem to, the Bible doesn't point to that. Don't look for the world to come up on a great realization that they're sinners and they're going to get rid of sin. Sin and the works of the devil are destroyed in the hearts that Jesus comes and occupies and lives in. For this purpose, he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why Christ came. Another scripture, John, 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know what? We need to know him, folks. We need to know him in a way that maybe we've never known him before. It's not going to get easier. The warfare is not going to get any less carnal, any less ugly, any less brutal. Satan is not going to exempt us from being attacked. He's not going to say, well, you're the church of God. Well, he's not going to say that. He said they went out to make war with Jesus Christ. The body of Christ, if you will. So, the devil's no respect because you're saved. That doesn't mean your child's not going to be tempted. We've got to know in whom we have believed. The Bible speaks about our warfare not being a carnal. The weapon's not carnal, but they're mighty, mighty through God. To the pulling down of those places that have been built up in our hearts. Over in Ephesians, he talks about the whole armor. We won't read that. But listen to what some of the things he did say. Ephesians 6:10-18. Take this very personal. First of all, open your heart up, and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? Ah, he's Jehovah, mighty in battle. He'll come in. And when he dwells there, then we're safe. Then we have power. Then we have authority. Then we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians 6:10-18. He said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Are you still trying today to fight the devil on your terms? Do you want to do good, but you can't? Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Are you still leaving the Lord at a distance? Open your heart's door and let Him come in. Put on the whole armor. Put on the whole. You know, sometimes we may think, well, that's not necessary. It is. If God said it, it's necessary. If God put it in the Bible, put it on. If God had someone write it down, put it on. If it's a promise, if it's a warning, put it on. If it's anything to do with the Lord, don't say, well, I don't need that. Yes, you do. We need it. We need it. We need it. We got to have it. Because there's an enemy that's looking. He said, ah, he didn't put on so-and-so. And attack us right there. Why? So you and me might be able to stand. I'm just going, it's the 6th chapter of Ephesians, that we might be able to stand. Not suffer the disintegration. Not be killed with an arrow in our back. He said these things to us as part of the armor, as truth that sets us free. Righteousness. We need the righteousness of God. No good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. Folks, if you're in a battle today and you're righteous, God's not going to withhold anything from you. He's already promised it to us. He speaks in here about the gospel of peace, the good news of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I hope every one of us have that. If you do not have the peace of God ruling in your hearts, you know where it is? It's a humbling of ourselves and a prayer away. And we can have a peace. The songwriter said, nothing can my peace disturb. A peace that passes understanding. He speaks in here about the shield of faith and being able to stop all those old fiery darts. I know in whom I believe. I trust in Him. I'm going to rely on Him. And when the battle gets hot, and it will, I'm going to listen for Him. I'm going to read what He says, dude. A sound mind or the helmet of salvation. He wants you to have that and put that on. The Word of God. Sword of the Spirit. Shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. Going forth to do battle, not in our preparations, but the preparations of the Lord. Prayer in the Spirit. You know, the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Lord, we need Your Spirit. We studied this morning that you don't know what spirit you're of. Well, you know, we can find out. Compare your actions to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and we can know what spirit we're of. And if I find something in me that's not unlike Him, that is unlike Him, folks, that's dangerous in this warfare. We need to get rid of it. If I'm impolite, if I'm angry, easily angered, if I have a little streak of this or a little streak of that, little pride, little self-will, little jealousy, little envy, little whatever, lust, anything like that, folks, that's where the devil's going to get me, and I'm going to lose the battle. Got to know what's motivating us. If we find something in us that's a motivating influence, and we recognize, well, Jesus is not that away. So simple, yet so hard for humanity to come to. We got to cut that thing off. We got to sever it. And watching. Watching is very important. You know why I know it is? Because Jesus said, watch and pray. We got to keep our eyes open, folks. Literally, but more than that, we've got to keep our spiritual eyes alert. Little something, it's not quite right out there. Read a few stories about warfare, a few. A lot of times, the troops would be here in a group some way. And maybe there's fields, and maybe there's hills, or maybe there's some trees or brush. And the enemy would decorate themselves to blend in. And they'd come sneaking in. They couldn't necessarily do just tremendous, tremendous damage, because it would be, but they could lob a grenade or something in there and kill and maim and demoralize. Did you know Satan is not going to have a big flag saying, here I come? He's going to disguise himself too. Oh, he'll come blatantly, but he'll also come with a little twig sticking out of his head over here, and he'll put on some camouflage stuff that looks like the sand around him or something. He'll do that to try to weasel in to our life. Folks, we got to watch. And if there's something coming against us, coming out there that, you know, thing's not moving, but it sure doesn't look like Jesus, you need to watch that thing. You know what they do? Put a big old X on it. And we need to destroy that thing before it sneaks up and it lobs a thought of unbelief, or it throws something in our life that we feel guilty of and demoralized of. Romans 13 and 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our answer, folks. And make no provisions for the flesh. If you or me, if we are entangled today, we better talk to the Lord. An entangled warrior will be a defeated warrior. He'll get whipped. You know, you and it's so easy. You know, have you ever picked up a rope, used it, and then thrown it over in the corner? An air hose, fishing line, cable. Use it one time and don't put it up properly and just kind of throw, I'll do it later. How does that thing get so entangled, so quick, and so easy? It's an amazing, rope and twine is an amazing thing to me. How can it get so entangled so quickly? Folks, we can get entangled so quickly without the Lord. Satan will come in like a flood, and there won't be that standard to lift up against him, and we'll be defeated. The Lord will teach our hands to war in righteousness and in holiness, and that we can be in that company that stand before him that day, praising him and honoring him and thanking him for the victories. So you pray for us.